And again, he forgot that there's a beggar there. And he just very much enjoyed having an oirach. What is the mitzvah of having a guest by your Shabbos table called? Achnasas Orchim. Who could sing that better than me? Can you sing that? Let me hear somebody sing that. Who could sing that? Who could sing it like that? I want to hear somebody sing. I want to hear singing on this story. Okay, go ahead. 1, 2, 3.
Achnasas Orchim.
Oh, that was just gorgeous. And after the soap, the rich man brings the chicken and the kugel and the fliegel and the polki and the potato kugel and the lakshin kugel and the zisa kugel and the Yerushalmi kugel and all the salatim and all the stuff and the pickles. And now it was time after the chicken and the kugel and the rich man and the beggar go on talking about all kinds of things. Of course, Torah things and Shabbistika things to talk about by the table. And the rich man felt, this is a beautiful Shabbos. And of course, they were singing the Gunim. And the rich man was enjoying the beautiful Nigunim. And he felt like it was a beautiful Shabbos. And he forgot all about that this man was a beggar and that he wanted to get the buried treasure. But every once in a while, of course, he would remember it. And Shabbos Day, Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow, we'll have to continue with Shabbos Day. Because this is Friday night. Okay, it is Shabbos morning. The beggar is sleeping in his nice, comfortable bed in the rich man's house. As soon as the rich man wakes up in the morning, hopefully he says, Moedi ani lefanecha, and washes nagel vaser. Well, in his head, the rich man is thinking, ha-ha, tonight, after Shabbos, because I'm treating the beggar so nicely as my guest, I will be able to find out about the buried treasure. Maybe he has a map. Maybe he has a map that shows some place in the forest is the buried treasure, and I'll pay him for it. And I'll get the buried treasure for myself. And not only but I'll be a rich man, I'll be a very rich man. Well, I'm already a very rich man. I'll be a very, very rich man. Shh. But at the same time, he's thinking to himself, it is not so difficult to take care of this beggar. After all, did I ever have a beggar in my house? Did I ever want to take care of a beggar? No. Well, I'm even enjoying having this man. I'm even enjoying having an oirach. I mean, how long has it been since I served somebody food? Or I took care of somebody myself. I always have my servants doing everything for me. And I'm taking care of him myself. Well, there's two things. He's a nice man, and I enjoy speaking with him. And he knows a lot, and he's very smart, and he's very pleasant, he's very nice. But it's just nice to have an oirach. It's nice to take care of somebody else. Well, anyway, I better get going. I want to make sure that he's very happy and taken care of, so after Shabbos, I can get that treasure. The rich man gets up, and he runs to make sure that the beggar is taken care of in the morning. Shh. He brings him a towel, and makes sure that he has his nagel vaser next to his bed. Well, he prepared the nagel vaser next to his bed. And the beggar got dressed up in his nice Shabbos clothes. And he said brachas. And the rich man serves him coffee and mezainis, cake, and a nice Shabbos thing before going to daven. And now they go to shul. And again, the beggar sits next to the rich man. And the beggar is sitting up in the front with all the important people and the Rav and the rich men, and he's sitting. Shh. And the beggar, the other beggars are watching and they just can't believe it. The rich man brings him a sitter. He brings him a tillin. It's time for Kriyas HaTorah. The rich man is called up for an aliyah, and he makes sure his guest gets an aliyah, is called up to the Torah. Now, the custom in that shul was that if a person was called up to Torah, the custom in that shul was that if a person is called up to the Torah, he announces a nadava, a donation, giving some money for the shul. And usually the rich man gave very little. And this time he announced a big donation. And everybody in the shul said, oh, look, he must be in a really good mood. He gave a lot of money. He said he's going to give a lot of money. And of course, if you say something, you got to do it. And then when the poor man, when the beggar was called up for the aliyah, the rich man said, in honor of my guest, I'm also giving the same amount. More money. Ooh, look. Look how much tzedakah he's giving. This man must be in some special mood today. He's giving so much tzedakah. He usually doesn't give anything hardly, almost at all. And the Shabbos day, after the shul, they go walking home. And again, the rich man is serving the beggar and taking care of him. Shh. And again by the meal, they're talking, and they're talking in Torah, and the rich man is enjoying taking care of the beggar. And every once in a while, it comes into his mind, aha, after Shabbos, the buried treasure. Isn't that the whole reason that he has him in the first place, to get that buried treasure? And now, kenalach, it comes, the end of Shabbos. Havdalah. After Havdalah, the rich man says to the beggar, please come into my private room because I would like to speak to you. Oh, well, we've been speaking the whole Shabbos, haven't we? Oh, yes, but now we've got to speak about something very serious. Now, please come into my room. And now the beggar comes into the rich man's room. And he says, sit down in the big comfortable chair. And of course, the rich man is sitting down in his big comfortable chair. And he says, the rich man says, the whole town is talking. And of course, I have heard about that you know where there is a buried treasure. And the beggar smiles, yes, that's right. I guess you heard about it. Yes, yes. And now is the time. I would like to have that buried treasure. So, if you have a map, I want to buy it from you. Or, if you don't have a map, but you know where it is, I want that buried treasure. Now, how much do you want for it? I'm willing to pay, I'm a rich man, and I want that treasure. And the beggar smiles, he says, well, you know what? I tell you something. The price we'll talk about, that's not important. But do you want a buried treasure or an unburied treasure? The rich man says, well, I thought you said you have a buried treasure. And the beggar says, well, what do you think is better? A treasure that's buried under the ground, or it's unburied and it's out of the ground and it's right there? And the rich man says, well, I guess an unburied treasure is buried than a buried treasure is better than a buried treasure. I guess an unburied treasure is better than a buried treasure, because if it's buried, you can't get to it, and it's covered up. And if it's unburied, it's right there, and you can have it. Well, what do you have? Unburied treasure or a buried treasure? And the beggar smiles. Well, actually, I have both. Or actually, I don't have either. What do you mean? Do you have the treasure or you don't have the treasure? The beggar smiles. The truth is, I don't have the treasure. You have the treasure. And the rich man is scratching his head. Wait a minute. You said that you have a buried treasure. Now you say you have an unburied treasure. And now you're saying you don't have a treasure at all. Well, you're saying that I have the treasure. I don't know what you're talking about. Where's the treasure? And the beggar smiles and he says, look, did I ever say the treasure was money? Did I ever say it was gold and silver? Did I ever say it was in the forest? Did I ever say I have a map? And the rich man says, well, I heard that you know where there's a buried treasure, so I want to hear about it. And the beggar smiles and he says, well, that's exactly what I'm telling you. The treasure is in you. And it's not money, it's better than money. The treasure is your neshama, your own Jewish soul. The beggar says, when I came to this town, we passed by your beautiful house. And the beggars said, the group of beggars said that you never give tzedakah, you never share, and you're very mean. And I said to them, it couldn't be, because if you have such a bracha from Hashem to be such a rich man, it must mean that Hashem gave you that bracha because you in some way deserve that. You have a special neshama. And if your neshama is not giving tzedakah and helping people and sharing, it must mean that your neshama is buried under something that's covering it up. When I passed by your house, I knew that there was a buried treasure. It's in you. And I had to figure out a way. I had to figure out a way for you to dig up that treasure. Better, a buried treasure or a treasure you dig up? What's better?
Treasure that's already out of the ground.
Okay. So what did I do? I became your guest, and you treated me very nicely, and you did the mitzvah of Haknasas Orchim and Avos Yisrael, and your neshama came out, and it was wonderful. The treasure that was buried came out and now was unburied. And that was the treasure the whole time. The treasure was not money or silver and gold. The treasure was your neshama. And Kinelak, the rich man, do you think he was upset at the beggar? How many boys think he was upset at the beggar? No. He realized that that was the truest and best treasure. And he wasn't upset. He enjoyed very much for the first time in a long time doing such mitzvahs. And he realized that he really had a treasure better than the silver and gold. And he thanked the beggar for being a zayrach. He gave him a big, big bag of money to help him. And he invited him back to be his guest. And of course, from then on, he gave tzedakah and he helped people, and the treasure was now opened up and used. In Bavel was a big millionaire, Reb Zvulun. He owned fields, forests, lakes, gold and silver, houses, buildings, parks, trees, flowers, bees, whatever you could think of, he owned. And he even owned ships to take all the stuff across the ocean to sell it. And he got so much money, and his workers bought stuff across the ocean, and they brought it back to Bavel, and they sold it and got more money. And he gave a lot of tzedakah, and he was a big Talmud Chochem. And Reb Zvulun was a fine Yid. And he had one son, little Naftali, such a smart, good boy. And one day, Reb Zvulun says to his son Naftali, Naftali, I want to send you away to the best yeshiva. You're going to go to Yerushalayim and Eretz Israel. And the young Naftali says bye-bye to Tati. And Tati gives a koshi to Naftali and sends him off to Yerushalayim. And as he's going down the road in the wagon, Reb Zvulun feels that he'll never see his son again. He didn't know why. It was a feeling. A few weeks later, Reb Zvulun became sick. And the doctors came and they said, this is very serious. And they gave him medicine and they gave him pills and they gave him shots and creams and all kinds of things that the doctors do. But they said, you have a very short time to live. And little Naftali in Yerushalayim did not know that his Tati was so sick. And Reb Zvulun did not want to tell him. He did not want to upset his learning because he knew that Naftali was learning so good. And finally, it came near the end. Reb Zvulun called in witnesses and he wrote down his last will. What he wants to do with all of his wealth and all of his things and all of his property and silver and gold. And he wrote it down and the two witnesses signed it and they folded it up and they put it into an envelope. And Reb Zvulun says, when I pass away from this world, you should read it in Beis Din, and whatever I said in this letter should be done exactly as I say. This is my last will. Shortly thereafter, Reb Zvulun passed away. And of course, his neshama probably went way up in Gan Eden because he was such a great man. And Kenalach, now in the Beis Din, they take out the envelope and they read it. And they were surprised to find out what Reb Zvulun said in this letter. Because everyone expected, where is all of his wealth and all of his things going to go? To his only son, Naftali, who he loves very much. But no, they were in for surprise. In the letter it says, I, Reb Zvulun, hereby give all of my wealth, all of my property, my fields, my forests, my silver, my gold, my houses, my buildings, all of my things, my lakes and all my rivers, and even my ships, to my servant Samura. And actually, it wasn't just a servant, it was a slave according to Torah. His slave, Samura, not even a Yid. Everything goes to Samura. Samura was his slave, who was a very trusty servant and a very good man. Oh, what's he going to leave to Naftali? In the bottom of the letter, in small letters, it says, and to my son Naftali, this is what I leave him. He will choose one thing from all of my wealth. Before Samura takes over my entire estate, my son Naftali will choose one thing. It could be a small thing, a big thing. It could be a big thing or a small thing. Only one thing. Now, Kinalach, the Beis Din was surprised. Everyone was surprised. Whoever heard of it was surprised. One thing out of all of his wealth and the rest goes to Samura? As trusted as a servant Samura was, it still wasn't his son. And now, Kinalach, they have to let Naphtali know what happened to his father? A special messenger goes to Yerushalayim and they take him the will. And he finds out and he has to sit Shiva. And of course he cries. Shh. And he thinks to himself as he's sitting Shiva for his father and he read the letter. Did I do something against my father that he only left me one thing and everything else goes to Samura? Maybe I didn't have enough kibud av aim. Or over here was kibud av. Maybe I didn't respect my father. Maybe I did something against my father. What did I do? And he thinks to himself, he loved his tati and his tati loved him. And he always tried to behave with his tati. And he couldn't find anything wrong. All of a sudden, Naphtali's Rebbe, who taught him the Torah in Yerushalayim, came to Menachem Avel to make a Shiva call to visit his student, Naphtali. And Naphtali tells his Rebbe all that had happened with the will. And his Rebbe asks, can I read the will, please? And his Rebbe is reading the will. And Naphtali thought his Rebbe will just be very upset also and feel bad that his father must be upset at him because he's giving everything to Samura and only one thing to him. Shh. And all of a sudden, as Naphtali's Rebbe is reading the will, he gets a big smile on his face. A big smile. And Naphtali asks his Rebbe, Rebbe, why are you happy reading that? It made me so sad. What could possibly be good about that, that you're smiling? If my father must chas v'shalom feel upset at me. And his Rebbe says, Naphtali, the opposite. Your father loves you so much and your father is so smart and wise and your father cared for you so much. He made sure in the will to take the best care of you, the best possible care of you. This is the way he made his smart, clever plan in his will to take care of you. Naphtali didn't understand. How could it be he's taking care of me if Samura gets everything and I only get one thing? His Rebbe says, your father obviously wants everything to go to you. But he didn't say that in the will. He said everything should go to Samura. No, listen, his Rebbe says, your father wants everything to go to you. But if he put in the will that everything should go to you, there could be a problem. Because you're in Yerushalayim, and all of your father's wealth is in Bavel. Now, to travel from Yerushalayim to Bavel takes a few weeks. Who would be in charge for a few weeks of all of your father's wealth until you got there? Does anybody know who would watch over until Naphtali gets there? If the father says, all of my wealth goes to my dear son Naphtali, and Naphtali now has to travel back to Bavel, and it takes a few weeks, who would be in charge of watching all of the things?
Nobody.
Well, there would be one body.
Who? Samura.
Samura. Now, as trustworthy as a servant Samura is, still, each person has a Yetzirah, especially when there's a lot of money involved. The Yetzirah is very big and very strong. And even if the Yetzirah did not come out for many, many years, it could all of a sudden come out because there's a big temptation of a lot of money. So, during the few weeks, in the few weeks that Naphtali would travel back to Bavel, it could be that Samura will get a big Yetzirah, and he'll say, Naphtali will not know if a few things are missing from his father's wealth, and a few diamonds might disappear, and a few pieces of gold might disappear, and a few important papers about who owns what might disappear. And by the time Naphtali gets back, it might be that he gets many of his father's things, but a lot of things would disappear because Samura would have time to plan how to make those things go to him instead of Naphtali. Now, this is why the father did not put in the will, everything goes to Naphtali. Now, what did he say? Everything goes to Samura. Samura thinks that everything is his except for one thing. So when Naphtali shows up, he'll pick one thing. Is Samura going to hide anything during that time? Of course not. Everything belongs to him. What's Naphtali going to pick? A house? A piece of gold? A few trees? A field? No problem. Nothing will disappear. But this is the smart plan. What should Naphtali pick? Now his Rebbe says, when you go to Bavel, you know what you have to pick? You will choose for your one thing, Samura. You will say, I pick out of my father's wealth to have Samura to be my slave, my servant. Now we're talking about a slave according to Torah. According to the Torah, if Samura owns a house and Samura belongs to Naphtali, whose house is it? Does it belong to Samura or Naphtali? It belongs to Naphtali. Everything that belongs to the slave, according to the Torah, belongs to the boss. If Samura is walking down the street and finds a watch, who does the watch belong to? To Samura or Naphtali? It belongs to Naphtali, because Samura belongs to Naphtali. So he says like this, all of your father's wealth will go to Samura, just like your father said, but you will choose Samura. So what happens? All of your father's wealth plus Samura, who will it belong to? To you, to Naphtali. And the Chachma is that nothing will disappear, because Samura will think the whole time he'll get everything anyway, so he won't have to get rid of anything. How many boys understand the very smart plan of the father? And that's why he designed the will in such a chachmadika way, in order to make sure that his son gets everything in the right way.